We welcome you tonight to this Thanksgiving Eve service. It's really a wonderful privilege that we have each year to be able to gather on the evening before Thanksgiving and to take the opportunity that we will hopefully extend through tomorrow and even beyond to continue to offer to God great thanks. Thanks for the many, many practical and ordinary daily gifts that God gives us that are part of what sustains and keeps us all through our life and our days, but especially to gather around this table to give thanks for the greatest of all possible gifts, that God has loved us in Jesus Christ. So tonight we welcome you. When we come to a time like this, I'm always aware as a pastor of a church as diverse and complicated as this one, that in fact there are lots of people who also come tonight with heavy weights and burdens and perplexities, things that are not settled, things for which they would like to give thanks but are not yet able to give thanks because they're either waiting or simply feeling the burden of something. So we invite you not to come with pretense, with some sort of false gratitude, but out of a deep gratitude, a God who understands our neediness and the process that we're still in, but who also, even in the midst of whatever needs we may still face, invites us to give thanks because of God's great faithfulness and love. Let's pray. Oh God, how grateful we are for the privilege of gratitude, that it sets us free from sometimes our tendency to fail to see what you've done. And it puts our eyes and our hearts and our minds on the things that we have seen, the things that we hope yet to see, which you have promised and which you will one day complete. Tonight, O God, as we gather to give thanks, as we tell stories and listen to stories, as we share our own particular experiences and as we listen to the experiences of others, we are so thankful that we get to come here together and do this. And that we get to gather around this Eucharistic table, this table of thanksgiving, which reminds us of the best of all possible gifts, that you have found us and loved us and given yourself for us. And it's for all these reasons that we gather to give thanks. In Jesus' name.
Lord, our God and King, His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and outstretched arms, His love endures forever. It's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever. Setting sun, from the rising to the setting sun, His love endures forever, and by the grace of God we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing.
give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered.
Thank you. be seated.
Hi, my name is John Van Noord, and I'm a member of this church. And I would like to give just a brief sort of testimony about what I'm grateful for on this Thanksgiving. There'll be two other speakers like me who will be giving different facets of what's important to them. But first, I'm going to read from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing like tonight. That was great. Oh, they left. Well, there they are. Thanks. Know that the Lord is God and that he has made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And it's that last, it's that last phrase that I want to focus on a little bit tonight. Donna and I, my wife Donna and I, went to a place called Sea Ranch up on the Sonoma coast to visit my brother and his wife, who have a place up there. And we spent the weekend about 2-3 weeks ago. And as we do when we're there, we went to the, one of the bluffs, and we were sitting there together, the four of us, just talking and praying and telling each other, you know, what's going on in our lives, that kind of thing. And I told them I was going to be here tonight, and said, what should I be thankful for? And here's what I got: the physical stuff, the beauty of the creation, our physical health, and material comforts, the fact that we live in a free country and we're able to do all the wonderful things we're able to do. And then the relational stuff, you know, like loving spouses and our children and our grandchildren and our extended family and the friends and that we have, the friends in this church, et cetera, fellow Christians. And then spiritual stuff as well, our church, the love of and the love for God that we share, and the gift of salvation. All of these very heavy, important things. And I said, wait a minute, time out. I've been given 5 minutes here, so I'm going to whittle that down and talk about just a few, mostly the family part, mostly the generations part. My dad was his name Larry Van Noord. He passed away almost 11 years ago. It still hurts. He was the last surviving brother of five. And my uncles lived mostly in Michigan. One of them lived up here. And so I didn't get to meet them or very much, very often, or see my cousins very often. So when my dad died, my aunt, one of the surviving aunts, sent myself and my siblings a cash gift and said, please use this to buy a tree and plant it or something to remember your dad. Because he was the sort of the patriarch of the family. And gosh, this is harder than I thought it was going to be. So we did. But we didn't actually plant a tree. What we did was join the Sempervirens Society, and we had them dedicate a redwood tree up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, which we go to visit from time to time. And actually, we bought two of them, one for him and one for my mom. And so we, as a family, we go up there from time to time. Well, fast forward about 15 months from my father's death, and one of my cousins passed away suddenly, heart attack. And that really sobered me and sobered, I think, most of my cousins, who realized that we hardly knew each other, and we really didn't spend much time together at all. So one of the results of that was we resolved to have family reunions like we did in the 50s, and we've had two of them since, another one scheduled for a couple of years from now. And I found myself getting the role of the family sort of record keeper, and so I have, I know you can't read this, I can hardly read it. This is the Van Noord family data sheet, 165 lines of either blood, relatives, or people related by marriage, spouses, et cetera, plus children and grandchildren. There's actually five generations on here now. And it is an amazing document. I send it out at least once a year to everybody to get it updated. And it's amazing how many people move, different phone numbers, email addresses come back, you know, null and void. Children have been added. And in fact, I have a nephew whose wife is pregnant, and so I reserved a line on there, just to be determined. So anyway. So my point of that is I'm just so grateful this year and every year, really, for family, extended family and immediate family. And speaking of immediate family, I wanted to talk a little bit about my grandchildren. Last night, I was having dinner with friends, and again told them I was going to be talking tonight. And they said, well, what are you going to say? And I said, I'm not going to reveal, because you might be there. And but I can guarantee you the word grandchildren will be in there somewhere. And sure enough, it is. We have five. Jolie and Lua, our daughter's children, have been living close to us for their entire lives, and they just, we are family. I mean, that's obvious, but it's also, in a sense, very, very true. Since she was about 4 months old, Jolie, the oldest, has been spending Thursdays with me, and now with Donna, as she has more time. But we call it Thursdays with Grandpa. And early days, when she came over to our house in Oakland, we would just simply play, or she'd nap and I'd change her, and that would be about it. But as she got a little bit older, we would go to the playland at the Oakland Zoo, and we'd go in the zoo, and she got to know all the animals, and the animals all have names. I don't know if you knew that, but the giraffes and the elephants especially. And so we contributed. There's a couple of bricks there with their names on them now at the Children's Zoo. It's a great place. If you haven't gone, you should go. But we moved over to the city 2 years ago, and so now Thursdays with Grandpa means going to the lagoon in front of the Palace of Fine Arts, or going to the Exploratorium. We walk there and feed the swans or the ducks or the... Lua, her youngest, the four-year-old, insists on feeding the pigeons, and I try to dissuade her from that. But anyway, she's great, and they just love to come over, and it's just a pleasure to have them. Our son and daughter-in-law now live in Kensington, and they're three kids, and so we're getting to know those kids as well, and it's great. In fact, yesterday, Anya, the oldest, the six-year-old, called and said, Papa Grammy, that's what she calls us, Papa Grammy, guess what? I got a new tooth, an adult, what did she say? A grown-up tooth, that's what it was. Got a grown-up tooth coming in, her first one, it's special. And then Luke, our four-year-old grandson, our only grandson, is there, and then Karis, the two-year-old, the youngest and most lively of the entire pack. But anyway, you can probably tell I'm grateful for my grandchildren. I just thank God every day for them. I know that full well, however, as Mark already indicated, that not everybody has that kind of relationship with family. A couple years ago, when Debbie was here, when Debbie came, she began this set of healing services, and we had the honor, really, and pleasure of being invited to be in the planning and the execution of those services and the, you know, the carrying out. Donna and I have often been prayer partners with people in this church, people in this community, and visitors, guests, and so forth, who come to those services and tell us the most wondrous stories, sometimes not easy to hear stories, about broken relationships with family, with immediate family, or whatever. But we're encouraged, and they are too, by the fact that they are yet, more importantly, a member of the family of God and of this community. And that's the one thing I'm grateful for. Last night I was at session meeting, and Mary Ellen talking about the new service, the fourth service that's going to start in the spring, about a survey that she was reading that people who are visiting churches and are looking for a church, one of the criteria they use is how do they care for each other. I said, "Wow, that's to myself. That's profound, because it's not how do they care for visitors or for newcomers." How do they care for each other? Because I want to be part of a community that cares for each other. And I'm so grateful to God that we have such a community. So those are the things I'm happy for, grateful for, and thankful for this Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God, the Father, at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus.
Darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see. How great
Lord God, we give you great thanks, and we pray that as we live our lives with tremendous amount of gratitude for who you are and who you call us to be, that our very lives might rejoice and people might see who you are. Give us a vision for our lives, Lord. Expand how we see ourselves and how we see people around us. We pray for your vision and we give you great thanks. Amen. My name is Tasha Hicks, and I just want to begin by sharing from Matthew 5, 13 through 16, from the Message. And it says, "Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there, on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house, be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven." The scripture is one that I've been reflecting on for a few months now, since there was a group of us meeting to talk about evangelism and what it means to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And what I love about this passage is that Jesus begins by reminding us of who we are. He says, "You are to be salt seasoning. You are to be light." Before he goes into anything about what we're supposed to do with our lives, he focuses in on our identity, which is found in him. It's about knowing our Creator and trusting the unique person that he's called us to be. Reminding us of our identity, I can just imagine Jesus beaming and exclaiming, "I myself am not that great at emoting or expressing with such energy, but if you can imagine with me, just Jesus with this real excitement of telling us who we are, saying, I have created you with a tremendous amount of tenderness and care, and I want you to live into who you are created to be, salt and light. It's about, and as we know this, we can't help but want to share this with other people. We can't help but want other people to learn that they've been created with this amount of love from our generous Father in heaven. In one of my favorite books, The Alchemist, the author explains this as becoming friends with your heart. And what I really like about this image is that I think we can all resonate with having conversations with our heart. Who are we? What are we doing? Why did that happen to us? What's going on in my life? Where am I going next? I think I'm not the only one in here that has this dialogue with my heart. At least I hope not. But as we more fully understand and embrace who we're called to be, I believe that we can better love other people and really encourage them to have this freedom to live into who God is calling them to be. And in that, we bring out the wonderful diversity of God flavors and God colors in this world. When I think about the scripture in light of thankfulness, the faces of many people fill my mind. People that have shared glimpses of becoming friends with their heart, and they find joy in knowing that Jesus Christ, that in Jesus Christ they are salt and they are light in this world. By their very lives, they inspire others. By their very lives, they cause people to pause and wonder, how can you live with that amount of gratitude, that kind of kindness, that kind of compassion? By their very lives, they allow others to discover our generous Father in heaven, and they live into and allow others to live into being their own unique God flavors and God colors. My life has been deeply impacted and shaped by such people that have shared their lives with me. Even in brief moments, they've given me this freedom to be comfortable in my own skin and to explore and discover Jesus Christ and the passions he's given me. Coming back to the conversation about evangelism, I can't help but have a real sense of gratitude for the people that allowed me to find my identity in Christ. In high school, I had a math teacher by the name of Brent Cunningham, and he lived with this kind of freedom. He was passionate about teaching. He wanted us to get those math concepts down, But I think even beyond that, he was really passionate about investing in his students. He saw the potential in each one of us and who we were uniquely made to be. He cared about us sincerely, and he found the things that made us light up, and he encouraged us to live into that. I remember it was during that same time frame that I was taking a class called Global Issues. And that class absolutely stimulated my heart and my mind. In the same way that Cunningham found great joy in teaching, I was discovering a growing passion for the social justice issues around the world. Cunningham saw this in me. He also became my young life leader. And it was through that relationship with him and seeing his joy of being salt and being light as a teacher, that he allowed me the freedom to open up with God and to seek the unique God flavor and God color he was creating me to be. He didn't try to mold me. He didn't tell me I should become a math teacher or that I should be this fabulous young life leader that he was. But really, he saw what brought me passion, and he encouraged me to step into that. He didn't tell me it was these 10 steps I had to do to become a good Christian. He simply lived his life beside me. He walked with me. He encouraged me. And he just shared his joy with me. It was in his sense of finding his identity in Jesus Christ that I found my identity in Jesus Christ. It was his zeal for life, his zeal for his students, that really encouraged me to find what is it that I can find that amount of passion for. And to this day, he has since become a friend. He and his wife continue to walk with me in my journey. They played a vital role in my decision to move to Romania as a missionary. He really asked hard questions. He made me walk through some tough things in my life and to really ask questions. Are you becoming friends with your heart? And is this the direction that God is leading you? And it was through that that I'm now stepping into ministry, and he continues to walk with me in that. I'm so incredibly thankful for Cunningham and the many others that have lived generously with their lives, people that live with joy and gratitude, and through that encourage me to do the same, to become friends with my heart, to know my source of identity in Jesus Christ, and through that being able to proclaim the good news of who he is and who he's uniquely created each of us to be. Amen.
We're going to have the opportunity now to just invite you, if you would like to stand and briefly share any particular story or reason for gratitude that may be in your heart. Tim has a microphone and is going to bring it to you. You can just stand, and if you would share your name and just briefly state whatever might be particularly a cause for thanksgiving for you tonight. We'd love to be able to hear that and simply celebrate in it together. So if you'd like to stand, Tim will bring the microphone to you.
I'm Rick Miller, and this year I celebrated my 20th anniversary with the Alameda County Probation Department, and I'm thankful that I've spent 20 years with the same employer. I'm also thankful because 6 years ago, next week, my brother was diagnosed with prostate cancer. 3 years ago, he was diagnosed with leukemia. I'm happy to say that his leukemia is in remission, and the prostate cancer has not spread. It has been kept. In fact, the last time he had his PSA, it was down. So I'm also thankful that I have a healthy brother.
Amen. Thanks, Rick.
Recently, I had the joy and pleasure of being at the wedding of Kay Wolf and Wendell Wolf. And those of us who were there experienced joy through someone's very, very intense and obvious joy. And it was, I've been to many weddings, but not one where the bride shone so intensely. And so I'm grateful for their marriage, and I'm certainly grateful for the experience of watching them get married.
I was joking with her afterwards that she could have lit up Berkeley if we had only been able to figure out some way of doing that. It was quite extraordinary. Other things.
I'm Grant, and I'm grateful for this church, for the young adult choir I just joined last year. I'm really growing, and not only in person, but as a musician, and I really enjoy the choir and contributing so much to the church and the worship. Thank you.
Hey, my name is David, and tonight I'm just thankful for the small group people that I've been meeting with on Wednesdays from this church. I just moved to Berkeley, and you know, they've just been really awesome to get to know, and they've really made me feel welcome, and I'm really thankful for them.
That's great, David. Thanks.
Well, my name is Yu Guanghui. I'm from Beijing, from China, and I'm grateful for the very fact that I have been able to be with you to worship the God, and especially in the during this process, I have been deeply touched, and I feel that the whole creation is praising our Lord Jesus Christ. And I really, I'm really grateful to be able to spend this Thanksgiving Eve together with you. Mm.
Thank you very much. It means a lot to us to have you here. Thank you.
My name is Kristen Liu, and I was hesitant to stand up, not because I couldn't think of anything to be thankful for, but because I was afraid that if I were to start, I wouldn't know where to stop. My heart is very thankful for community of fellowship that challenges me. I'm thankful for an opportunity to worship and praise the Lord freely in our country. We can do it any time of the day, at any place where we are, and I am very blessed by that. I'm blessed by my immediate family and my extended family. That's a joy to me. I'm blessed with opportunities to serve in this congregation. I'm also blessed with the way that I am challenged and nurtured through those opportunities to serve. So even though I enter into service sometimes anticipating that it's my opportunity to give, I feel that I receive so much during that time. So for all those things, I am very, very thankful, and that's just a drop in the bucket.
Thanks, Kristen. It's great to hear that.
I'm Susan Brady, and I'm so thankful that we now live back in the Bay Area, and I'm thankful that I'm going to be spending the third Thanksgiving that I have been able to spend with my sons, and I'm so thankful that they're going to grow up in this community surrounded by the people that have loved me and that I've loved for so many years and that now are extending that to them. And I'm just really extremely grateful.
It's great to have you back.
My name is Mildred Mao, and I'm thankful for friendships. I have had the wonderful privilege of having great friendships throughout my life. This past year, 5 of my friends have died. And tonight I'm thankful for what they taught me about dealing with illness and dealing with death. How thankful I am for the hope that we have in Christ, that even in times of illness and death, God is faithful to us.
Mm. Thanks, Mildred.
I'm Robin Kroger, and we had our first granddaughter born in July. She met my dad in September. My dad went home to the Lord the end of September, and we had our first grandson born last month. I don't understand God's timing. I don't always agree with it, but I know he's sovereign, and I'm thankful for that.
I'm Jane, and I guess I have two things that I want to bring out that I'm thankful for. One of them is my grandmother, who, if she were still alive, she'd be 122, and and she just had an amazing life, but toward the end, all she was reduced to was sitting in a chair and praying, and she prayed that all her descendants would come to know the Lord, and she has a lot of descendants, and I'd say, with just maybe a couple of exceptions, all of her descendants have come to know the Lord, and she's been with him for many years now. So I think about that and that whole cloud of witnesses. And I'm also thankful for having been in this church for so many years and having known, like Mildred, all those who go before us and all those who just, you know, prayed for this church and prayed for us and were leaders and showed us the way to go, how to live and how to die. And I'm just so thankful for that whole privilege I've had with so many saints from this church.
Amen.
Hi, my name's Johnny. You can probably recognize an Irish accent, but I was sitting just being so thankful there, and I was prompted, someone on one side of me said to me, you know, you have so much to be thankful for, you should stand up. So we've been here in Berkeley from the start of September, and we go back home next weekend, but we'll be back and forward over the next year. And it has just been such a huge blessing to be able to meet with the Christian family here in Berkeley, because when we were coming over, I mean, Berkeley has a worldwide reputation for liberalism, and you know, maybe we had thought it might be difficult enough to find really loving Christian family to be part of. And you guys, and there's so many of you both here and in one or two other churches around the area, that have just been so lovely to us, and we just thank God. I speak for my wife Carol and my two kids here, Lauren and Joshua, that you've just made us so much part of the community and loved us, and just thank you, Lord.
It's been great to receive you, and you've jumped in wonderfully, so thank you. Anyone else want to stand and share? Let me offer a prayer. Lord, we just acknowledge that these are just a fraction of the things for which we could give thanks. We are people that need to stop and take stock again and again of your faithfulness and love. So tonight, oh God, we just name these things. We hold them as the treasures that they've just been named to be, and acknowledge that they come as good gifts from your hand, and that there are many others unspoken in this room that we are all, each one, aware of. Thank you, O God, for your faithfulness. Thank you that it's there in times of joy and ease, and that your faithfulness is there also in times of struggle and difficulty. Thank you that it's for us, but thank you that your grace is for people all around the world, and so we acknowledge your faithfulness that holds us truly, O God. You are Alpha and Omega, and in that we find our life today and tomorrow and forever. Amen.
Deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turned on a cross.
Good evening. My name is Rick Leong. I'm also a member of this church. I know most of you, I think. And I want to thank everyone for sharing just a little while ago, because it continues to remind me of all the things that I should be thankful for in my life. But tonight, I'm going to share a very specific part of my family's journey that some of you are maybe familiar with, and some of you actually have been very intimate parts of this journey with my family. First, I'd like to read from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This part of my family's journey begins in 1995 with the birth of our daughter, Noelle. We were so excited to begin the journey of growing a family. Noelle was continues to be such a blessing to us from God, and we're so thankful for her. And one of the other dreams that we always had was to have Noelle experience the life of growing up with siblings, just as my wife and I did. Kathy, my wife, has a sister and two brothers, and I have two brothers, so we were really excited to have this family grow and for Noelle to experience that also. But there was no indication of what was going to lie ahead when we started a family. Kathy became pregnant right away. We were so thankful to God. But so there was no indication of the suffering that was going to come in the years forward. Several years had passed since then, and we were trying to have a second child, but there was no second pregnancy. And with that came growing frustrations with each other, with God, throughout the amazing myriad of doctors' appointments and tests. You guys seemed to be fine, which seemed to add to the frustration. You know, what's wrong with us, we thought. We kept asking ourselves that. And I know there's probably some people here that are familiar with this particular situation, and they've been there before. But in the year 2000, 5 years after Noelle's birth, we were overjoyed, and Kathy became pregnant. We were so excited. But in a few short months, this elation turned to agony and grief as we lost this child to miscarriage. A few months later, as we continued to grieve that loss deeply, Kathy became pregnant again, but then again, a few short months after that, we went through a second miscarriage. And when we thought we were down on our knees in grief, that second miscarriage just devastated us. And then a couple more years went by with more tests and nothing being found and no pregnancy. And then it was in 2003, we were actually planning to go on a family mission trip with a group from here to Mexico. A few weeks prior to that, we found out Kathy was pregnant. You know, we were excited, but our joy. We try to put a damper on our joy just out of personal, trying to protect ourselves. And the night before we were to leave on that short-term mission trip, we found ourselves in the Alta Bates Medical Center emergency room. Kathy had an ectopic pregnancy this time, and she had to go through a procedure there that night. And obviously we didn't make that trip. And I mean, our hopes and dreams were shattered. I mean, they've been shattered for that first miscarriage, and it just kept dropping. And it was a very dark time for our family, for Kathy and I, a strain on our marriage. Our daughter, Noelle, who was then now 5, 6 years old, I know it was a struggle for her personally, and because we tried to keep her with us along this journey with us where it was appropriate. And I think on top of her own grief, it was difficult to see her parents just continually in tears and having a difficult time coping. Noelle, it was great, and she was able to express her grief through writing letters to us, telling us how she felt. You know, although Kathy and I were trying to be there for one another, as husbands and wives should be trying to do, we just discovered that there is no way that each of us could be that person for the other in this type of situation, because we were both hurting so much. And I hear all the gratefulness expressed about our faith community, and so many of you as part of this congregation were there to pray with us and to sit with us and to give us hugs and to say the right things and know when not to say a thing. And it meant the world to us. And I thank God, we thank God every day, we still do, for that expression of his love through the people in this congregation, because that really carried us through this dark period of time. And in particular, I was meeting with a small men's covenant group on a weekly basis at that point. And for me, as a father, I think it was a little more difficult for people to approach me, or maybe they didn't know what to say to me. I think Kathy, it came more naturally to people to be able to say something to Kathy, but my covenant group really was there for me. I could talk to them whenever I needed them, and they'd be there to listen. A turning point in my grieving process came at the 2003 men's retreat. You know, Kathy and I had talked about, and through some of our work with Stephen ministers and counselors and pastors, that we came to a point where we thought that having some kind of dedication, either at our home or here at church, for these three children that we were grieving would be a helpful tool in our healing process. We really had no clue what direction to go toward moving toward that. But getting back to this, just prior to that time that we set to do this dedication, I was at the men's retreat in 2003, and during the free time I had a chance to just to be with God and ask him, God, I don't know why I'm at such a loss in terms of this dedication. And I prayed and prayed, and I was trying to write down notes, just a blank piece of paper. And God, I felt God urging me to just put down the pad of paper. You're thinking too much. And I put the pen and pad down, and I just laid down on this bench prone and was looking up at the sky, and I was just looking at the clouds coming by. And I still don't understand it. But a group of clouds came by, and it was a mother holding a baby, nursing a baby. I just almost fell off the bench, and I couldn't believe it. And right then, you know, God prompted me and said, he wanted me to write a letter to these children about what I was feeling about not having them here. So I was able to do that. It was a great turning point for me to be able to express that. And I shared that with my covenant group later. God led Kathy and I both on this journey, and it was filled with pain, but it was also full of growth. We learned so much more about each other and just the extent of God's love. I mean, it's something that you just can't put words to, how expansive that is. And we learned a tremendous amount about that. He also taught us, I think the biggest thing that he taught us about was being content. And we struggled through that for many, many months. We did explore adoption at one point, but God wanted us to understand what it means to be content. But then I felt like God got us to that point. And then 2005, God sent us a message of hope. Kathy was pregnant. This was 10 years after of Noelle's birth. We were excited, but the excitement was very dampened by our fear. I mean, it came right back to us about those years that we went through, and we were scared. I mean, we were older, and we were just really afraid of the days and months to come. Every day, we came to the Lord in prayer and was thankful for every day in this pregnancy. Every time we were praying, every time we went to the doctors, we were bracing ourselves before every appointment. But then as the months went on and through the prayers of our family and our church family here, 10 years after Noelle's birth in September 1995, our second daughter was born. And her name is Hope. We have so much to be thankful for, Kathy and I, for each other, our wonderful church family, our beautiful daughters, and especially for our God that never left us alone. We laugh sometimes thinking about having children 10 years apart, and a lot of people say, wow, that's a huge gap. And we usually tell them now, yeah, it really wasn't our plan, but we think it was God's plan. Thanks.
Let's pray. Oh God, we have received tonight in the words of each of the people that have come forward to speak, and in the voices of those that stood where they were and shared their reasons for gratitude, just something of the hope and the love and the mercy, the grace that you show us. So tonight, oh God, as we come to this table of the Eucharist, a table of thanksgiving, we're going to come bringing our own reasons for thanksgiving. You do want us to understand and remember you. You do want us to see your hand at work. We know that we have a hard time in many instances being able to do so. And therefore, the work of gratitude is a challenging, sometimes difficult work. But you, O God, are deserving of our thanks. And we give you that praise. In Jesus' name, amen. In a moment, we're going to come to this table and to share together in this feast of thanksgiving. We're going to have the chance, just before we do that, to receive this evening's offering. It is, again, an expression of gratitude. Every offering is an expression simply of thanks to God. So as we share in this time together, may we present to God our own reasons for gratitude and our hearts of thanks as we also give these gifts.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross.
The language of thanksgiving in the Bible is related to one other very important biblical word, which is the word remember. Thankfulness comes out of remembrance, remembrance of God's faithfulness, remembrance of God's character. Sometimes when we give thanks, it's because we're able to easily remember and readily refer back to specific moments and times when we experience God's provision, and it can cause us to feel very, very thankful indeed. But there are other times when we look back and we're not necessarily seeing clarity of evidence that we can say this is how it is that God loved me. But we give God thanks because we remember that his character is the same, even at times when we still are struggling to understand the reasons or the way the pieces all fit together. Thanksgiving in the language of the Bible is not a whitewash to blur distinctions or to pretend that life isn't hard or that there aren't lots of unanswered questions or that there aren't needs that are unmet. Never is it that. It's just to acknowledge that there is something more important than just those things to say, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that God's love is as tangible and as personal as this cup and this bread, that the God that we discover here is a God whose love is not shaped by circumstances or times or cultures or economics or race or gender. It's not shaped by any of those things. It's simply an outpouring of God's extraordinary, extravagant love. When we come to this table, we remember the faithfulness that comes in sometimes in instances and experiences. But even more than that, we remember the faithfulness and love of a God whose character looks like this. A God who says, I am with you to the close of the age. I am for you. I have died for you. I've risen for you. And now I'm here to serve you. So we invite you tonight to come and to eat and drink at this table of thanksgiving, this Eucharistic meal, because the God that we remember is that kind of God. For me, there are so many reasons for gratitude. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the colleagues as pastors and the other staff that I have the privilege of serving with. I'm thankful for the faithfulness and love of God that has given me so many experiences of his presence. But deeper than all those things is this table that says there is a love that is deeper than those circumstances, deeper than the times when sometimes those circumstances haven't been there. I think of a time for me when 28 years ago, I think I was saved, literally. My life was saved at a Thanksgiving meal. And I never come to Thanksgiving without remembering that particular Thanksgiving and the way that God's people served me at a table of Thanksgiving. When I come to this table, especially on this night, I always remember that it was that act of God's intervention tangibly displayed through those people that saved me. And this love is the love that saves us all. And it doesn't have to be a grand meal. And it's not about a fancy table. It's about a simple feast of a love that knows no ends. Lord, as we come to this table tonight, we do bring all kinds of evidences in our lives of the experiences of thanks, of remembering. But what we most come to this table to do is to remember you. And so, O God, with thanksgiving, we remember you tonight. It was on the night that Jesus was betrayed that he took bread. And after having given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, after supper, he gave them the cup, saying, this cup is the cup of the new covenant that's shed in my blood. Drink of it as often as you will in remembrance of me. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. May we eat and drink with thanksgiving. Lord, feed us as we come to this table. Renew and strengthen and encourage us that you are as present to us as these elements. For it is your love that we remember here, a love that knows no end. Thank you, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Servers will position themselves here toward the front. We invite you to come forward as you feel led to come forward and receive communion, and simply to return then to your seat. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. May we eat and drink with thanksgiving. So, Lord, we receive this food with hearts needing to be fed. And being fed, we now give you thanks again and pray that you'll send us on our way tonight with the assurance of a love that is deeper than circumstances, but a love that meets us in circumstances and provides for us every step of the way. Lord, give us eyes to see and hearts that respond and minds that are open to receive your good gifts and then to remember you as the giver of them all. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you were able, would you please stand and sing about God's amazing love with us? Thank you. forsaken, I'm accepted. Jesus, you are my King.
Amazing love,
amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. My joy to honor.